Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we get into your word, Father, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to give us the true revelation, Father, of this your word, so that we be not deceived by those that are teaching contrary to the word. And Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds to be receptive. And Father, I ask now that you be with us throughout the remainder of this study this evening. And I'm asking all of this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. It's time that we get into our communion. And so if you've got everything ready, get your bread. We know, because it is written, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." As we take this bread now, let us remember his agony, his pain, and his sacrifice there on the cross. Give bread. All right, get your cup. To the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So once again, as we partake of this cup, let us remember all that shed blood and where it come from as he was there at the cross. Take your cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. May the Lord add unto each of us his blessing. And we give praise, honor, and glory once again for the Lord Jesus Christ. He in our lives and make for him making that way for us to have salvation. And once again, we give this thanks in his precious name. Amen. All right. Let us now, we're going to be going back into Matthew this evening. And we're going to be going back into the 18th chapter. And we got 35 verses here. We'll see what God's got for us in these verses. Because here in the 18th chapter, it is mainly all the Lord Jesus speaking. So he will be teaching you and I this evening himself. All right. In verse 1, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. 3, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We know that those 4 verses is telling you and I quite a bit right there. Because the dispute over who is the greatest here was settled by Jesus. His emphasis that it was the one who was willing to forgive the most. And be converted means a turning of one's whole life and person toward God. This is the true biblical picture of conversion. It is far more than mental acknowledgement of the truth or intellectual assent to certain ideas. To become as little children means to be born again, converted as a newborn spiritual child, characterized by faith and humility. And also, that child, and when he's talking about children, looks unto his parents, and all of his trust is in them. And he depends on them for everything he needs and for everything he wants. And they'll give him what he needs, but they may not give him everything he wants, because a lot of times a child wants things he shouldn't have. It would be bad for them. Just as our Heavenly Father He'll supply our needs. He tells us he will. We are told to put our trust in him. So we know that we are to look at him as that child looks upon their parents. And when we go to him and ask for things, as long as it is in accordance with his will and his way and his word, he'll grant that. But the things of this earth that we may want, he may not give that to us because he knows whether it would be good for us or not. A lot of things that we will ask for out here, really, instead of being good for us, would work really against us because it could take time away from him, or it could lead us in to other things that would not be right in God's eyes. And he's not going to give us things that way. So there are times that we'll ask for things and he'll say no, and we'll not be able to get them. Because you see, he can see that we get things, or he can see that we don't get them. But we're also told that we are converted when we begin to think that way as we are growing. Because our life does have to change just like that child. That's why we have to be reborn. John tells us all about being reborn. Now, God willing, we may get into that sometime tomorrow. All right, verse 5. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. You see, when we are received by others and we have been born again, it is the same as receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, up to the point of seeing him, as far as us giving them forgiveness for their sins, that when they repent, that we don't do. You see, they have our forgiveness, but they've got to have his. Because we're to be forgiven for anything that anyone does to us. We're not to hold that against them at all. That's hard to do. Now, but whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he was drowned in the depth of the sea. 7. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. And you see, we take a look at those verses. This little child represents a new convert or young believer. A new one. See, because you are just changing. Things are just changing for you. To receive such a fellow believer is to welcome Christ himself. Therefore, the basis of true Christian fellowship is established in Christ himself. Senses are viewed as a reality that must be accepted in the present world. But woe to the one who is the source of the offense. A millstone is literally an S stone or a large grindstone turned by an S. Now, it's one that does a lot of grinding. And they are quite large and quite heavy. And if one is, if you're tied to one of them and thrown to the sea, you're going to drown because you're going to bottom and you're going to stay there. Now, here in verse 8, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. 9. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Now, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Now, you see, he's giving us a lot of warning here. And here in 11 now, he says, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Well, how think ye if a man have 100 sheep and one of them gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountain and seeketh them which is gone astray? 13. And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiced more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. 14. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Now, those verses from 8 through 14, he's got warnings here and all, and he tells us the hand, the eye, and the foot are not the real source of temptation, nor are they the real cause of offending others. Just as temptation arises from within, so does offending others. And being offended, the reference to their angels supports the idea of individual guardians, guardian angels, for believers. Salvation is not just a privilege to be enjoyed by a select few, but it is also to be shared with the lost so that they too may be saved. Thus, it is not the Father, it's not his will that any of these little ones should perish. The immediate context in Matthew relates little ones to believers, but the cross reference in Luke 15:3-7 clearly refers to lost sheep Thus, we may conclude that it is not the ultimate wish or desire of God that anyone perish. While God permits man to perish in his unbelief, he does not sentence him to such condemnation against his will. You see, we have a choice. And that's really what he's telling us here. It's not God's will that any one of us should perish. He is letting you and I know that when we reject him and we reject his word and we will not live his word and for him, he's letting us know what will happen and where we will be going. And we know that that is in hell. And we'll be there for Satan and his angels and all are, and everyone that has rejected the Lord our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God's Word. Now, you see, we have a choice. And those that will choose him, he will in no wise turn away. If you go to him in honesty and sincerity, God will not turn you away. He is there. And when you go to the Lord Jesus Christ and you do that in honesty and you repent, he forgives you your sins. They are covered by his blood. And then, as you are baptized in his name, putting on his death, his burial, and his resurrection, you are to walk in newness of life. Everything is to change. Now, is that always easy? No. But it is something that must be done. Now, when we put the Lord on by being baptized and all, and we've done that in honesty and sincerity, now we are ready to receive the Holy Spirit. But it may take a little while before we receive him, because unless we know something about him and of him, it's going to take a little time. Because God is not going to give us something that we don't understand, that we don't see, that we don't really want, and that we're not going to use. You hear me every day. Every day, twice a day, you hear me. As we begin our study of the Word of God, ask the Holy Spirit to come forward, to be our guide, to give us the knowledge and the wisdom as we study. And then we pray before service is over, we will pray and ask God to keep us in health, keep us safe and all. And that is done through the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. You see, He brings us those things. Now, they are brought to us by Him, and they come to us through the Holy Spirit, or through the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Holy Spirit is bringing them. Because the Trinity of God all work together. Because they are all one. Now, we're going on now to 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, and that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, you know, the setting of these verses fits into the context of church discipline, the responsibility of action is threefold. One, personal, go and tell him. Two, private, two or three witnesses. And three, cooperate. Tell it unto the church. Tell him his faults. Means to honestly express the point of offense. This should not be done in vindictive anger. You don't do it in anger. You do this in love. Because we are to love all. We do this in love, but it must be done in straightforwardness, honesty. To fail to speak up is to be dishonest and will lead to harboring continued bitterness. And the last phrase of verse 16 is taken from Deuteronomy 19, chapter 19, verse 15, neglect, better said, is to refuse as a heathen man and a publican, as those who would not be admitted into the church. The obstinate sinner is to be cut off, at least temporarily, from Christian fellowship. Examples of this are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 4 through 5, and 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 20. You see, there are times And they are those that we are not to accept in the church. Those that will not change, that are living in sin that is offensive unto God. Until they will repent of that and get rid of it, we're not to accept them in church. I'm going to give you an example. Those that live in adultery, as long as they are living in adultery or fornication, either one of those, and they will not come out of that, they are not to be accepted in the church. And they sure can't be in the church and be used in any form. Yet we have ministers today in the pulpit saying they're teaching the Word of God and they're living in adultery. They have two and three living wives. That does not work. They are not to be there. And that is God's word, not mine, but God's word, as I just read to you here. You see, now, if they get rid of that and quit living that way and repent, then, yes, we take them into the church. But as long as they are unrepentant and living in that way, we are not to accept them into the church. And we have ministers that will knowingly marry couples, and he is marrying them into adultery. You see, he's wrong too. To knowingly marry a couple and marry them into adultery makes you just as wrong of that sin as they are. We are to be very careful. Of how we conduct our lives as the ministry of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 19, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Now, you see, when they are two or three of us together that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're his child, and we ask things according to his word, then we can receive them. because we're not there, just the two or three of us. The Lord is there with us. Because you see, when we come together, we are to come together in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. And I greet you all every service in his name. Because I want him and the Holy Spirit always with us in these studies. And we're going to stop here for the evening. We won't have time to get through the rest of this chapter. We'll be picking up here with verse 21 later on and seeing what else the Lord has for us. And I pray that you have received something good this evening for you and something you may have forgotten or that you may have not ever received really within. You may have even read it. You still may have not received the truth and the real meaning that was there. And I pray that you have received a blessing from the study this evening. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we close your word for this evening, Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for these times that we come together, Father, to share your word with each other so that we can learn from each other, from your word, from the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, to be able to go forth into the world, Father, to help others, to move closer unto the Lord Jesus Christ and to you, Father. Now, Father, we pray for Israel and Jerusalem for peace. But more than that, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. In this land of ours that's filled with evil, Father, we pray that the leaders that have brought this upon our people and taken so much away, that they be replaced, Father, with ones that love you, love the Lord Jesus, love your church, your people, and this land. And they will work, Father, with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back, foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for each and every one that is listening or that will hear this message as they download and listen. I pray for them to have health, to walk in honesty, to love you, because we know you love them. And that they all accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior and begin their life anew. And Father, keep us through this night in health. Keep us safe. Bring us back together again in the morning, Father. This is my prayer In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, all. Have a good night. And I pray that you be with me in the morning. Good night, all.